This episode is out of season. It's not the fall. It's not even spring yet. Why are we drinking cider? Maybe we are just in the mood for something crisp today. Or maybe we just want to rediscover this old style that's been around for centuries. Join us, and we'll see if cider a day keeps the doctor away. As we have a drink.
Welcome to Have a Drink, the show where you learn along with us about what you drink. I'm Brittany Lee Walker.
I'm Justin Frazier.
I'm Christopher Walker.
And I'm Casey Price.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Howdy ho there, neighborinos.
I was really trying, because I remember last time now, and I'm like, nope, got to read it word for word. We're not even going to get all full of ourselves thinking we can just read things without...
thinking we just remember stuff. We old. Mm-hmm. We drank a lot.
You got a Randy Newman that. Now I need you to sing it.
No.
Sing the bit as though you're Randy Newman. Oh, welcome to Have a Drink. God, I hate Randy. Sorry, we were watching something with Toy Story things on it. I'm just like, I hate Randy Newman. I hate his singing. Why did anyone convince him he could record himself singing? He's an amazing songwriter. Don't let him sing, for the love of God. Whole family can write music, but they can't sing.
Sure, people.
I was deeply offended by that song as a child, being not very tall. How's everybody been?
Swell.
Say, I don't think we haven't recorded since we went to the show together.
We all went to the punk rock show, and and it was hilarious
in an unexpected location.
It was depressingly hilarious because the place, I don't even think it was, they didn't even sell half the tickets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I'm okay with that. Like,
it could have been crazy.
Bogert's is, like we were talking about earlier, Bogert's is like so small compared to that venue. So maybe it was just, hey, we're just trying to give you as much space as you want.
Well, I felt bad afterwards because I had warned a lot of people, you probably don't want to go to this. It ain't going to be your cup of tea, because it's like every time I've gone and I've seen Dropkick like a dozen times. And all but one of those, which was at an outdoor amphitheater, I couldn't hear for 2 days afterwards, like flat out. Like I had to go to classes, and most of these were in college, and I couldn't hear anything because I had people trying to talk to me, and it was like nothing. Someone had to tap me on the shoulder to let me know the professor was trying to get my attention, and I'm like, I just pointed at my shirt, and I'm like, I can't hear shit.
I didn't have a voice for like... It slowly came back over the week. By Friday, I had a normal speaking voice again.
Mine was sketchy. Because Bob and I were both just like, what?
It was very funny. It would alternate turns. One of us could scream a whole scream out, and the other would start and start coughing.
Yeah. We were like, God, this is sad.
And yet there was that like 8-year-old kid there as he had to... As they had to stop and comment, this kid knows all the words to like the old songs. Like, what the hell?
That was wow.
That kid was the highlight of the show.
8-year-old kid is going to jump on stage and do Skinhead,
right? Was funny to see my young niece there. 16, but still.
It's still, I could not have pictured, because my dad, we showed him some of the stuff afterwards. He's like, I think I would have had fun. And the whole time it's like, yeah, I don't see my dad sitting through fuck authority.
I say he would not have made it through Pennywise, I feel like. The first group, probably. That would have been fine. Yeah.
That was a fun group, too.
Oh, they really were. The instruments were fascinating.
Yeah.
I still, I can't, so their live performance versus their out, because we tried to listen to their albums, and I'm like, the hell are we listening to? I was like, this is awful.
Some of the songs are the same, but yeah, they're clearly performers versus...
It's like, the live thing is fantastic. The performance they put on, yeah, that is great. Their albums, I'm just like, yeah, no, I can't listen to this. This is bad.
Not in the car, anyway, because some of it's a little sleepy. But it was there. One of the highlights was them playing Uno during Brohim until like, I was like, okay, this is, yep.
So yeah, that was, what was also funny was before the show is, us, detouring people away from the brewery.
Yeah. And we were all,
that was on us. Like we shouldn't have, sat out there.
Well, it was sitting out on the patio, and everyone's like, oh, the brewery's open. No, it's not. No. Then they just gesture to us out on the table with beers in front of us. And it's like, I don't want to be that asshole, but we know the owner.
Yeah.
We were those people.
We were using our privilege to...
Yeah.
Thank you again, Casey.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a very fun show. I liked the venue. I know that there was some, you know, it felt weird because of the, I don't know, it's not as crowded and raucous as we are used to.
There were a whole 13 people in the pit, and
no, there's more than 13.
Yeah, but that part was weird, but none of the bands cared. They went out there like they're playing for just a crazy crowd, which was fine. So, and I loved what's his butts from Drunk Murphy's take on the whole thing. He was like, you know, I can still say that I'm going to new places and meeting new people. He's like, this is wonderful.
We're like 20 some years of being on tour, and I'm still going to new places.
And we're like, that is a great attitude to have, sir. Mm-hmm.
Anything else been going on since we last saw each other?
When even was that?
Like 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks? I don't know. God.
It was the beginning of March, I feel like. That sounds
Right.
What time is it now? I don't know. I'm old. We're planning to meet, a friend who's come back into town next week for dinner, and it's like, it's 5 o'clock too early for you guys, and it's like, I'm old, man. Like, that's perfect. It's like, we've got a kid that has to be, like, bathed and in bed. Like, no, that works fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought we'd check in. It's been a weird last few weeks, so
I'm trying to, like, for the life of, I'm pretty sure there is things, are things. My mind is like, no.
Emmett had his first vision exam.
Oh yes, and he has my vision already. Nearsighted with astigmatism.
That's mine too, except just multiply it by a lot. He doesn't have to have
eyes. How many eyes are Brittany hiding from us?
Yeah. I mean, I need a backup pair, really. Why aren't we there yet, first of all? He doesn't have to have glasses yet. However, it's almost a guarantee within the next couple of years. Like, not in 2 years, but, like, within that time period, something's going to happen. So... it was like the start of the nearsightedness and astigmatism. I'm like, cool. She was like, does anybody in the family have? I was like, all of us, everyone. Like, the it's like he family. Is screwed. I was like, and it was like, me and his dad, astigmatism, nearsighted. So he's totally screwed.
runs all the way through. The seed is not strong.
Well, the seed is strong.
Yeah,
but
not with vision.
The genes are weak.
Yeah. Not when it comes to hair. The boy will be a Wookiee. Like, that's
right. Some of us aren't so lucky.
Look, you can say not so lucky while I have to, like, shave my neck, and we tried waxing my back and shoulders the one time, and now it's a curse that'll live with me the rest of my life. They'll flop me on the autopsy table and be like, what happened to his back? There are these weird strips where no hair grows. So it's like, funny story. Have you ever seen 40-Year-Old Virgin? It's pretty much that.
Well, I went and bought a grill today. Twice.
Twice?
Twice.
She missed it, apparently.
Yeah, I guess I missed that part.
I was just like, no. Yeah.
The grill's so nice, he bought it twice.
That's right. The whole reason we went to Lexington today was to go get this specific grill that, like, you could really only get in Lexington because there's not a whole lot of people that carry it. Like, Lowe's doesn't really carry it. Home Depot, it's sort of hit or miss which stores have it.
Hear that, New York? Only Lexington.
Yeah. So we go and find this grill. We know that Cabela's has one, and so we go and find it. It's the last one they've got, so we get it. Pack it up in the car. Thing weighs 180 pounds or something, maybe more than that. Because it, even with both of us lifting it, it was still like we couldn't lift it up. We just had to like tip it in. Get it in the car and from Cabela's. We're like, okay, let's just go there first. Make sure we get this one because we've only got one. Move from there. Go do the other stores we need to. So the next place I was like, well, let's go over to Costco so we can get some brisket to cook on it. Because like if you get a grill, you want to make on it. Go over, get to Costco. We're back looking at the brisket section, and Ashley goes, is that our grill? And we look over, and sure enough, it's not only our grill that we just bought, it is a better version of it because they also include the pizza oven.
It's got a whole brick oven that just attaches to it.
Exactly. And then
probably
I'll
less
look
money
at the,
too.
And she's like, and it's cheaper. And I'm like, no, it's not. Only like 30 bucks or so. And she's like, no, look, $170 cheaper.
Like, because Costco.
Okay. And she's like, I'm returning the other one. I was like, can you do it without me? Because that makes me very like self-conscious and nervous. Like, I know there's nothing wrong with it, but just like, I just don't want to talk to people. So she goes and takes this $180 pound grill back by herself into Cabela's, and then we get this one and take it out, and we're like, okay, nice. Just
picturing your wife getting into like the back seat for leverage, and then like having a buggy out there and just pushing it out with her feet, just like, yeah.
Yeah,
when she was done with it, like this, that MF-er was going back, so she did not care. She was just like, shove.
That's amazing. I'm like not even kind of surprised, honestly, because that's what happens with Costco. You can't do the thing where you look up like, oh, what does my store have? No.
Yep.
You have to go there. That's the only way to find out. That's why when we go, it's anyone who goes to Costco, you know, often knows you don't just go in for one or two things. You make a list. Those are the things you want to have before you leave.
They have them still.
Yeah. And you need to go through every aisle.
Because they move things around.
And there's going to be things when you're like, oh, I didn't realize this like $400 garbage disposal is here for only $180. This week only. It's like, I need a garbage disposal.
Hell, this is hell.
I almost did that with a bathroom ventilation fan. I was like,
we saw that.
Really nice. Yeah.
No, and we found our Costco, again, and you don't know, they don't have the same things at every Costco, because why would they? Okay, so, no, we saw this amazing, like, ceiling fan thing. I say thing because it's like weird. It's got the light around it and the fan is inside the circle light.
Oh, it's, yes. I saw that one.
I was waiting for you to say it. The fan is stationary, but the lights spin around.
I mean, whatever. But yeah, that's, we were just looking at those at Lowe's and I'm like, of course they have them here. Why wouldn't they? Because this is how this works.
Now I'm picturing you guys going into a Costco going, at last, I am the crafty consumer. Hello, I'll take eight.
Yeah, that's... It's that there's that scene in like season one of Modern Family that like Mitch and Cam go in there.
Yeah, and he gets the shredder.
Like, he's like, that's the shredder I've been looking at. He's like, oh my God, it's cheaper than... He's like, what is this place? Oh, so good.
No idea.
So apparently Costco is what we've all been up to.
Nope. Well, not Bob. Bob, let me tell you, it's going to happen.
It's what's going to happen is your guys are going to put me in a chair, strap me down, and we're going to enact the Lenovo, Lenefto. What's the thing from A Clockwork Orange? Starts with an L.
Oh.
But you're going to pry my eyes open and just force me to watch Costco things.
No, we're gonna do that. And make you to eat. Forget about that movie.
We're gonna make you eat Costco pizza.
Bob, you did see the first text that I sent, right? That they had Johnny Walker Blue for
yes.
$200 a bottle. I haven't seen $200 Johnny Walker Blue ever. Like it's always been over three.
Yeah,
let alone nowadays.
And not to mention, they have a Kirkland Signature brand that is a bourbon that. Is it's E.H. Taylor. It's literally just E.H. Taylor with a Kirkland sticker on it instead.
I was waiting for you to say it's they've got a Kirkland brand Johnny Walker.
I mean, they probably do. You just
they
go, do.
They have scotches,
call it something else. Yeah,
yep.
It's the Kirkland blended scotch as opposed to the Kirkland single malt Islay scotch.
Well, it's easy to spot these because it'll literally be in the same bottle as what you're used to from whatever major brand, just with a different label on it. Because lazy.
Yeah.
No, cheap. Like cheap.
Yeah.
Ain't lazy. It's just like, oh, we know we can do this and make more money off of it because this doesn't match your brand exactly.
They're thinking smarter, not harder.
Right. It's just like. So on the beauty YouTuber world that I follow, it's just like the world of makeup dupes. And it's like, oh, you could pay $60 for the Charlotte Tilbury blush, but Elf just came out with a $4 version of it. That's exactly the same ingredients. It's like, and they don't even try to hide it. They're like, this is essentially the same packaging, same color scheme. The name even kind of sounds similar.
Real quick, before we get into the topic, I do have one dumb story. To tell, because Brittany's makeup beauty thing made me think of this. Hold on, I went. We were going to eat with my girlfriend and her family at the mall, which you know how much I love the mall.
Don't we all?
But we got there early because I was anticipating taking longer to find a parking spot. So she's like, well, can we go like look around for a bit while we're waiting on everyone else to show up? I was like, okay. So we walk in there and we end up in Sephora's.
Yes, that's a thing.
Yeah. And one, my God, makeup is expensive.
No shit. In Sephora especially. That's kind of their jam.
I was looking at some of this like, oh, okay, that's that. That is how much? Mm-hmm. But the other thing is seeing my girlfriend in there is like seeing me in a liquor store. Because there are random customers looking around, like, I don't know. And then she goes like, hi, yeah, do you not know what you're looking for? Here, let me help you with this. And like starts talking through what it is they're looking at, how they can, you know, do whatever they need to. And it's like, it's like me in a whiskey section at a liquor barn or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had to keep my opinions to myself in the create your own. Aisle today. I was just like, I'm gonna let these people fumble through this. It's not my job.
But yeah, So I just thought that was entertaining to me. It's like, oh, this is what this looks like from the outside. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I think it's time that we get to our topic.
Been on that truck. Seeking bastards.
Been on that truck. Been on that truck.
You're not that drunk.
Give me a minute. And I will be.
Hold my beer.
No, no. Hold my cider. Hold my empty glass. I need another.
Yeah, mine's empty.
I've been trying to pace myself. Emptiness. No, you might have a certain image in your head of cider. Maybe it's a sweet, fizzy drink that you find around Thanksgiving. Also, I can't start a sentence with you when I'm reading it without thinking of you have Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Sure.
Sometimes that is when you find cider at Thanksgiving time, unless you're in my family house where the land is dry. But that is just the beginning, just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to travel through cider's long and winding history, get nerdy around the science behind the fermentation magic, and explore incredible, diverse world of cider styles. Because cider's story isn't just long, it's wide-ranging. We're talking about a global journey. Its origins start back thousands of years to ancient civilizations in places like northern Spain, the coast of France, and Celtic Britain. The Roman writer Pliny the Elder even wrote about cider making in the first century AD. Cider's popularity exploded in colonial America. Apples were brought over from Europe and thrived in the new environment. I'm surprised there's not a large section of the story about Johnny Appleseed. Because those were cider trees, not...
Not for eating.
Right, yeah. Not for human consumption. Unlike water, which would often be unsafe, cider was refreshing and relatively safe drink to have on hand. It was literally that you could say back then, I can't drink water.
I would have been good to go. I would have
fish
been fine.
From the toilet?
It's like, fish fucking it.
Yeah. Oh, there's cholera in that water.
Mm-hmm. It's because everyone kept going further upstream to poop. Well, many homesteads had an apple orchard and turned their harvest into cider. It wasn't just for drinking either. I don't want the next sentence to be they were bathing in cider. It just sounds sticky. Cider was used for cooking, oh thank God, preserving their food as vinegar, and even as a form of currency. The barter system was alive and well. It's also, can you just picture a barrel of cider rolling that thing out? Yeah, give me those 12 goats for that barrel.
I mean, cider apples, come on.
Sadly, cider's American golden age came to a halt. The temperance movement heavily discouraged alcohol. Discouraged. Yeah. Outlawed is another word for that. Industrialization and urbanization changed how people got their food and drinks, and beer's popularity rose. You know, I can't really fault them for that. Mm. Luckily, cider is back with a vengeance. I'm picturing a apple tree, like with its branches dropping down, grabbing someone going, I'm vengeance.
Revenge of the cider.
We're now seeing the craft cider revolution in a return to cider's roots. It's not mass production and sugary sweetness. Craft ciders makers are focused on showcasing incredible flavors that special cider apples bring, using traditional techniques, taking inspiration from those historic cider making regions. So let's get into some science.
That needs to be a stinger. Why don't we have that?
Science.
Wasn't one of our names Bill, so we can, you know, get into a science section just going like, Bill, 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 Bill.
She blinded me with science.
She blinded me with cider.
Ouch.
The building blocks of great cider are simple. Apples and fermentation. But how does that transform from fruit into a delicious drink that involves some cool science? Let's start with the stars of the show, the apples. By the way, just can't get the Bill Brasky joke about Johnny Appleseed out of my head the entire time. I'm not going to say it during the show. You can look it up for yourself. It's an old SNL bit.
Bill Brasky is a son of a...
Just saying, Bill Brasky was a lot like Johnny Appleseed, and that's all I'm going to say.
The same... He sells brooms somewhere in Kansas. Like the first sketches they did were the best. I don't know why they dropped it later on, but in the first couple, for whatever reason, they had them wear massive...
fake teeth?
Yeah, massive fake teeth that were like nuclear white. And it added so much to it because you're going, the hell's up with their teeth?
Will Ferrell trying to talk through the... through those things, just go, you know, I don't even want to do a bit for it right now. All right. Forget those Red Delicious or Granny Smiths you grab for snacking. True ciders are a whole different ball game. So are they like football or Australian football? Literally, there are hundreds of varieties. They come from all sorts of funky names. Dabnet, I don't know how funky that one is, but Kingston Black, Yarlington Mill, each with its own unique mix of sweetness, acidity, and tannins. Oh, tannins. Tannins might be a new word for some of you, unless you've listened to some of our wine episodes. There are compounds that give cider a slightly drying, even mouth-puckering feel. If you're in to red, red wine. Okay. Sorry, I saw it coming up there, and I was just waiting to see how you guys were going to react to me slowing down, going like, oh, God, it comes.
I think I expected it. It's just always there.
Mm-hmm. Brittany, I'm going to need like a musical swell behind me when that comes. No, I'm kidding. And if you're into red wine, you'll recognize that sensation. Cider apples with high tannins are especially prized, adding complexities and structure. Cider apples are often categorized using four main characteristics: sweetness, acidity, tannins, and their overall role within the cider blend. So here's a breakdown. Sharps, which is high acid, low in tannins. These apples add brightness, tartness, and complexity to cider. Examples of these are Kingsington Black, Foxwhelp, and Yarlington Mill.
Ah, good Yarlington Mill.
Kind of a great...
What about the age-old damn fine apples?
Oh, the damn fine. They might be in a later category. Well, they might be...
From Baron Damn Fine's lands.
Right. Yeah. Well, next we have the sweets. They're high in sugar, low in both acid and tannins, and they provide a sweet base for the cider. Just like a boom, 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 boom. Examples are Gold Delicious, Fuji, and Gala. These are often dessert apples, but can be used in cider sweet cider blends. I was going to say, those are all edible apples, unlike most cider apples. There are bitter sharps. Sorry, I just wanted to see if I could run the words as close together as I could. They're both high in acid and tannins. What kind of acids, Casey? Lysergic?
I had to get into the thing. Malic.
Mm.
A couldn't find my mute button. Command D. I need to remember that.
He needs the keyboard shortcut page we were talking about in pre-show.
Please see the pre-show. Well, no, and no one else can see it, but
look into your hearts. It's in there.
Our entire pre-show was talking about keyboard commands and shortcuts, and how I discovered a whole line of giant desktop mats that are just, you pick what program or system. I have one at work that I bought for myself that's nothing but Excel commands and shortcuts and formulas. I love it.
Well, Bitter Sharps, they provide structure, bone, and a slight bitterness to the cider. These examples are Dabnet, Chiseled Jersey, and Trellmitz Bitter. Last of the categories here are bittersweets, low in acid but high in tannins. These contribute a rich, astringent quality, and is often a deeper color to the cider. Examples of this are Porter's Perfection, Brown Snout. That is perhaps the worst name we've seen here so far.
I'm liking this category has it with names of apples.
And Stoke Red.
So these are all, if you look these up on Urban Dictionary, Porter's Perfection, the old brown snout.
That one's, yeah.
And she gave me a Stoke Red. Oh, you got a little of the old Porter's Perfection, did you?
And end of the night with some brown snout.
Jesus Christ. What the hell were they naming apples before? And then we're going to find out at Casey's. He'd be like, actually, those were named like 20 years ago, and everyone knew exactly what was up.
200 years ago.
And they still knew exactly what was up.
Not idiots.
Just as perverted back then as they are now. Have you seen what the Victorians were doing?
I mean, there's literally this one that's called a baby's arm holding an apple. apple would just be called the baby's arm.
Anyway, we also have blending apples. The best ciders are usually made with a blend of apples with these different types. And they add three things. Complexity, because if you blend the apples, you create a multidimensional cider with a balance of sweetness, acidity, and tannins. It also adds structure, with bitter sharps and bitter sweets providing a sturdy framework for the cider.
I mean, your brown snouts tend to do that.
Look, Porter's Perfection knows how to get your... Anyway, and there's also the aroma. Each apple variety contributes unique aromas, creating a more complex flavor profile. And yes, the brown snout must have a very, very distinct aroma.
The Porter's Perfection involves a lot of rigid framework. These are
absolutely... We're at the point of the show now where Brittany is apologizing that two of us exist.
We usually make it a lot further. We're still in your section. We've not even gotten to mine.
There are hundreds of cider apple varieties, each with its own nuances. While the main categories are helpful, many apples don't fit neatly into one box. Well, yeah, because the box is finite, and if there's a many apples, it may not fit in there, and they're kind of round, so it may not seal all the way. I took the metaphor too literally, didn't I? Anyway, these offer even more possibilities for making ciders. When looking at apples used in the ciders you drink, here are some you might see. The classic cider apples of Kensington Black, the Dabnet and the Arlington Mill. These are all English ones. The Kensington Black gives a bitter sharp. It's a bitter sharp with a high acidic quality, produces a rough backbone, complex aromas. The Dabnet is also bittersweet, produces tannins, adds structure, depth, and a slightly bittersweet flavor. And the Yarlington Mill is a bitter sharp known for its high acidity, moderate tannins, and a bright, tart flavor that contributes to a long finish. I bet it does. There's also, oh, we're going to get fun now. The Wixton crab.
So, is this coming from Maine? Like, what's
right? It does sound like that.
Does this apple have pinchers on it?
A Wixton crab is when you get all pinchy in the middle of. Anyway, the Wixton crab is a sharp apple with an extremely high acidity, perfect for blending to add a zingy tart punch. There's the
like
golden
whip.
There's a golden russet. I believe that's actually called a potato.
When the shit and potatoes come into this.
Well, in France, a pomme de terre is the word for potato, and that means apple of the earth. So,
Are we making vodka now?
Like, that's vodka is just French cider. Anyway, the golden russet is a bittersweet variety that's prized for both its balance of sweetness, acidity, and spicy aromatic quality. It can be used as a single varietal cider apple. I was waiting at any point for this to say for its starchy quality and its ability to be sliced and fried very well. And then there's Ashmead's Kernel. As an English one, a sharp variety known for its intense citrus notes and high acidity, excellent for blending. Will it blend? Yes.
Okay, well, let's move on to some modern favorites. I start with a great one.
And it's from the USA.
Yeah.
We're just jerks.
Esopus. Spitzenberg?
No, don't spitz in my berg.
Already did. It's too late.
The first word just reminded me of like Oedipus.
I was like that's Aesop's? Not... Like, I was like, what? Okay. Classified as sharp, but also brings aromatic complexity and a sweet tart profile with hints of spice. Now that's
a nice description, I
yeah.
should say.
Oh. Named after... the settlement of Aesopus in Ulster County, New York.
I was going to say, so this tastes like those little packages of sweet tarts with like a little bit of cinnamon on them.
What?
It says sweet tart.
Oh.
Oh, you're adding the profile. Cinnamon as a, okay.
Yeah, okay. Tremlett's Bitter from England. A true bitter sharp apple packed with tannins and acidity, excellent for structure and depth in blends. Muscadet de Bernay, France. A bittersweet variety noted for its rich aromatics and balanced acidity, can be used as a single varietal or in blends. Harry Masters Jersey from England.
That's a shirt. That's just Harry's shirt.
A bitter sharp, lending both tannins and complex fruity notes. Well, if it's Harry Masters jersey, then yeah, it's gonna be.
Also, the Masters is a U.S. Sporting event, not. Actually, I don't know. I don't know anything about golf.
I have not.
So there's a lot of French ones on here. Medaille d'Or.
Medaille d'Or.
From France. Who'd have guessed? Known for its rich, complex flavors and excellent blending qualities, offers both tannins and balanced acidity. All right. Well, it is important to note regional availability plays a very large role in cider making. You don't want to be transporting, you know, massive amounts of apples that far.
I want some Chinese apples for my cider.
Well, good luck dealing with what Chinese bugs will be living in them and you're transporting across borders. See how well that goes. Even more so than beer. Some varieties of apples are more readily available in certain regions than others. Be sure to check what's grown locally or easily sourced from nearby orchards, as those may not be the standard apples above and one of the hundreds of other apple varieties that can be used in cider making. So there's also this fascinating idea in the wine and cider world called terroir. This basically means that the environment where the apples are grown, the type of soil, the slope of the land, the weather patterns, all of that leaves a unique imprint on the flavor of the cider.
I thought we had been waging a global war on terroir. No? Okay. I'll show myself out.
I see where you're at, and please stop.
Think of it like how coffee from different regions has its own characteristics. That's why a cider from France will taste totally different from one made in the Pacific Northwest. All right. So, segment three, cider styles to explore. There's a whole universe of cider styles out there, and with the craft cider boom, it's only getting more diverse. Let's do a tour of some of the classics and newer trends. We will even dive into some of the base apples that may be used in each style, as well as the twists and turns possible with each. After you've had a few ciders, some of these sentences do not roll off the tongue.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Modern American craft. Modern American craft cider is a vibrant and constantly evolving category. Cider makers in this style embrace experimentation, pushing the boundaries of what cider can be. Expect to find... Yeah. Do we have the big, rich dessert stout ciders? Are there like cake ciders and weird things like that?
Mine's a pie.
Expect to find ciders that range from bone dry to subtly sweet with bright, fresh flavors. They might incorporate unusual ingredients like herbs, spices, or even hops, blurring the lines between cider and beer. Barrel aging in vessels that previously held spirits like bourbon or tequila adds an extra layer of complexity. There it is. Bringing it on home.
Hey, look. We know my stance on things aged in a barrel.
Just makes give them everything. To me. Makes everything better. Even my beard oil. Throw it in a bourbon barrel.
I'd like some bacon aged in a bourbon barrel.
I'm pretty sure you can get that.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a hard ask.
I know you can have at least bacon, or you can get at least bacon smoked with a bourbon barrel's like old wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm hungry. Whether you crave a crisp, tart cider that showcases the pure essence of the apples or one with a touch of sweetness and unexpected flavor twists, you'll find in the world of modern American craft cider. This dynamic style is all about limitless innovation and exploring the vast potential of American-grown apples. American craft beer. We're really exploring the potentials of what we can do to a beverage and still call it a beer.
I'm just saying, let's start making that potato cider.
At that point, doesn't it just become instant mashed potatoes or vodka?
Does it become just a hard lemonade at a certain point if you add lemons?
For some reason in my head, I just got as like, what happens if you make instant mashed potatoes with vodka?
I know what happens when you make them with beer. It becomes delicious.
Does it just take root? All right. So your base, a mix of sweets. You got your Golden Delicious, Fuji, with a good dose of Sharps, Wixen Crab, and some Golden Russet.
It's hard to get rid of Wixen Crab once it gets into your blend.
You got to use this little comb and the special shampoo. Try including a bitter sharp like Kingston Black for depth, or experiment with less common varieties for unique aromatics. Or there's a good wild card. Throw in dessert apples with interesting flavors like pineapple or tropical fruit notes for an unusual twist.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sorry, now I'm just thinking about someone making a cider with cranberries and apples. It's our cran apple cider.
I'm willing to bet.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm certain. I'm sure it's there. I'm just saying, like, you know, cran apple. That's
add some spice to it. There you have your perfect wintertime drink. Thank you. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, you got your English farmhouse. So an English farmhouse cider celebrates the rustic heart of traditional cider making. These ciders highlight the unique characteristics of cider apples, embracing bold tannins and sometimes a touch of wild, earthy funkiness from spontaneous fermentation.
Yes, good, good.
As all good things have. Expect dry, complex flavors that linger on the palate, showcasing the untamed side of the fruit rather than simple sweetness.
That took a turn there at the end, Chris.
I don't know what you mean. If you enjoy,
there needs to be a suggestive warning before that, for that read.
If you enjoy beverages with a sense of history and an authentic connection to the land, English farmhouse ciders are a must try, especially since I do enjoy living with the land. They defy expectations and offer a taste of the past, reminding us that apples have a wilder, more complex side beyond their sweet image. These ciders often rival fine wines in their depth and structure.
I'm picturing cider on a motorcycle playing Born to Be Wild.
Yeah. All right, well, your focus are going to be bitter sharps and bitter sweets are going to dominate here with the Dabnet and Trimlets bitter. And so you're going to have your Stoke Red showing up and Chisel Jersey. Is that how we say that one?
Chisel?
Chisel or Chisel?
Chisel.
Okay. Balance are going to include a touch of sharp, being your Kingston Blacks and your Yarlington Mill for acidity. Rustic charm is going to come or seek out wild or foraged crab apples for an extra layer of funky complexity. And all I get as soon as reading that is the episode of Bob's Burgers where he decides he's going to be the chef who forages mushrooms. And he's out in the woods trying to forage mushrooms.
Yeah.
Are you going to be the brewer who's out in the forest trying to steal crab apples?
I ain't going to forage 125 gallons of anything.
Right? Like,
ain't happening.
You dragging a wooden cart back into the hills.
You've got two kids, Casey. Put them to work.
We got into this like new economy of bartering. So you can do what you know. And I do not know foraging.
Okay. So, French cider.
Cidre.
French cidre.
Guidre.
Whoa. We're not getting into space lizards here.
Oh.
Particularly from the regions of Brittany and Normandy, embodies a timeless elegance.
No. That's just England. It's just England on the mainland. It's got Britain right in the name.
No, it's a very weird place.
I know.
You just look at their traditions. and everyone just looks at them going, the hell are you all in about? Celts are like, we recognize some of that, but we gave it up a long time ago.
We recognize that. I ain't claiming it.
This style offers a diverse range of sweetness levels from lip-puckeringly dry to gently sweet. Bottle-conditioned ciders deliver delightful effervescence, adding to their festive... their festive appeal. Whether dry or sweet, French ciders or cidres always showcase a beautiful balance of acidity, fruitiness, and often a touch of delicate bitterness. Experience the refined side of apple-based beverages with French cidre.
seems like that's a commercial being written right there. Like a, it's like, come experience refined apple-based beverages with French cidre.
Is someone gonna do it or am I? The Cerveza Cristal!
Oh, I spent like the last couple weeks just walking around going, Cerveza Cristal!
Oh, God. I know it's gone online, but has everyone seen that? For the love of God, everyone has to have seen it.
Casey has not.
Because, okay, the whole joke is they were too cheap in Mexico or in South America altogether. And when they were airing Star Wars on TV, it was too expensive to cut to a commercial for the sponsor. So they somehow filmed these short, like, 5 to 10 second bits that they literally cut directly into Star Wars. And one of them, it's like when Obi-Wan's going to turn off.
He's going to go get the lightsaber.
Oh, he's reaching in when the stormtroopers are coming around, and suddenly he's grabbing a bottle of Cerveza Cristal, and it starts playing the jingle.
It was Chile, by the way.
Oh, it was Chile. Cerveza Cristal. Jesus. Oh, God. And on WDWNT, they really like beat that dead horse with it.
Colbert did a whole big long run of it throughout an entire episode, just every so often. Just he'd be saying, and I think this calls for, and he just like pull up from the Cerveza Cristal.
All right, anyway. Whether dry or sweet, French cidres always showcase a beautiful balance of acidity, fruitiness, and often a touch of delicate bitterness. Experience the refined side of apple-based beverages with French cidres. These cidres are crafted with finesse, highlighting the subtle nuances of different apple varieties. They make excellent companions for food and offer a refreshing alternative to cider styles that lean heavily on sweetness or bold tannins. And I can't read that, and I'm just like picturing a Cracker Barrel.
I was going to say, I'm reading like dog ads at like the Humane Society with that. You know, this makes an excellent companion for a refreshing alternative to. Sorry, that's not a complaint about the thing of the writing. It's just where my brain went immediately.
I'm talking about it with, excellent companion for food. And for some reason, I'm just like fried apples at Cracker Barrel because they serve them with everything. Doesn't matter what you get, you're getting fried apples.
You know what else they serve with everything, Chris? Cerveza Cristal.
They do. I didn't know where you were going to take that for a second because the very next thing is diversity. No. Cracker Barrel is not serving diversity.
No, Cracker Barrel does not. It's in the name.
All right, diversity. Your French cidre makers utilize a wide range of bittersweet and sharp apples.
Good angles. I read that it's bittersweet and sharp angles.
Okay. Consider varieties like, there's that again. Medela d'Or.
D'Or.
Muscadet de Bernay, Bidon, Frijuan Rug. I don't know.
I really thought one of those says Brendan.
Sure.
So just like my brain tried to autocomplete in it, you know, as I'm kind of scanning through, just went Brendan. Nope.
That's my brain had a problem not auto-completing after reading two or three Dr. Seuss books. It's just always like, and somehow this next sentence has to rhyme with the previous one. And like it was very hard for the like next 20 minutes. I was like, no. Anyway.
I was waiting for you to accidentally rhyme.
It'll happen. If there weren't words on a page for me to read, yeah, it would happen. Regional specialties, look for apples from Brittany and Normandy for classic French flavors. And sweet versus dry, adjust the ratio of sweet and sharp apples based on your desired sweetness level. Spanish sidra.
Sidra.
Oh, ah, sidra. Sidra.
Wow, wow.
All right, Spanish sidra or cedar. I don't even have the video up, but I know Casey's just like shaking his head. Spanish sidra or sidra natural is a thrilling departure from the norm. These ciders are intensely tart, sometimes even bordering on sour, offering a distinctly different perspective on what apples can offer. They are typically bone dry and incredibly refreshing.
Bones are surrounded by like a lot of tissue. I don't think they're very dry.
Once they've been bleached in the sun, they are. The most captivating aspect of Spanish sidra is the traditional pouring method. Cider makers hold the bottle high above the glass, dramatically splashing the liquid to create a lively froth and natural aeration.
Isn't sidra a Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything
evolves into Kingdra, I believe.
Spanish sidra is for adventurous drinkers seeking bold and invigorating cider experience. It challenges the typical perception of cider as sweet and encourages a deeper appreciation for the tart, acidic sides of apples. If you're ready to have your taste buds awakened, Spanish sidra is waiting for you.
Cervezas Cristal.
If I knew a brand, we could run with that. Okay, so scroll back up for me. All about the acid. Yes, it's what you dissolve the bodies in. I mean, the bodies of the apple.
It is not.
Yeah.
That you use a base.
Correct. Sharp apples are essential. Go for extreme varieties like Wixen crab or traditional Spanish sidra apples. Bitterness. A small amount of bitter sharps can add a touch of complexity. And for minimal sweetness, limit sweet apples. Who would have thought? Or omit them entirely for the classic Spanish pucker. Ah, yes. Remember the last time I had a classic Spanish pucker?
Woo! Paid me good raw. Money for a Spanish pucker.
Left me raw for weeks.
Brittany and Casey, you're just sitting there going, we cannot take these two anywhere.
I mean, this is, yeah.
Yet they do.
Yeah.
It's a mistake.
So, we're moving on to a different thing entirely, I guess. I don't know. New England cider. It feels like a different thing entirely. We go from Spanish to New England.
This one's made out of clams. No, that's chowder. Sorry.
Definitely die. Farewell to you,
you old Spanish
ladies. Farewell to you, you ladies of Spain.
Okay. New England cider holds historical significance, representing the style prevalent in colonial America. These ciders are typically made with a blend of dessert apples and often have sugar or molasses added for sweetness and body. They offer a full-flavored experience compared to some modern craft styles. While less prominent today, a dedicated community of small producers is keeping the tradition of New England cider alive.
They all wear tricorn hats.
Yeah. If you're curious about cider's American roots, seek out a New England cider. These offer a taste of history, showcasing apples' sweeter side while maintaining a connection to the traditional techniques of the past. They offer a cozy, nostalgic experience, particularly well-suited to cooler seasons. So the dessert apples form the foundation, Golden Delicious, Gala, Macintosh, etc. Boost complexity.
They put a whole computer in there?
Yeah, it's delicious. Boost the complexity, add a small portion of sharps like golden russet or well, bittersweets.
We did see an apple too at the museum last weekend.
Yeah, that's true. It's great. Or bittersweets, which is the Dabinet, if available, for extra dimension. And then the sweetener, historically accurate options include molasses or maple syrup. I think the maple syrup would be good. Ice cider. So, okay.
Can I get a cider ice, please?
That'd be great, actually. Imagine having that at Oktoberfest, though, when it's like dumb. Yeah. Ice cider, sometimes called apple ice wine. Okay.
ice wine. I
should have waited for that one. It's a luxurious treat born from cold climates. The production process starts with freshly pressed apple juice, which is then naturally frozen to concentrate the sugars and flavors.
It literally is just butt ice.
Yeah.
Or natural ice.
This concentrated juice is slowly fermented, resulting in a sweet, intensely flavored cider with a higher alcohol content than traditional styles. Yeah, because if you're cold, well, guess what? I imagine the essence of apples distilled into a rich, honeyed nectar. That's the experience of ice cider. It's perfect for sipping as a dessert wine with complex aromas of baked apples, caramel, and sometimes a hint of spice. The sweetness is balanced by a vibrant acidity that keeps it from being cloying. Ice cider is a true indulgence for those who appreciate the finer nuances of apple-based beverages. So, the sweet and acidic. Prioritize apples with high sugar and high acid for a concentrated flavor profile. Golden russet, Esopus Spitzenberg, or a blend of dessert and sharp varieties work well. Intense aromatics include apples known for their strong flavor for a bolder ice cider.
Casey, all this talk of sugar just makes me think of college and people going after other people's sugars.
Getting your sugars.
Mm-hmm. Sure. They would announce this before starting to try to tickle someone.
Y'all went to a weird school.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. So hopped cider. Hopped cider is a delightful hybrid, blurring the lines between cider and beer. Cider makers infuse a traditional cider base with hops, the same ingredient that gives beer its bitterness and aroma. The result is a beverage that balances the fruitiness of apples with the floral, herbal, and citrusy notes characteristic of hops. The level of hop bitterness can range from subtle to assertive, depending on the cider's maker's vision. If you enjoy both cider and beer, hopped cider is a must try. It offers a unique flavor experience, showcasing how two seemingly different beverages can complement each other beautifully. Seek out hopped ciders to discover how the world of hops can transform the familiar flavors of apples into something else entirely new and exciting.
You got your apples and my hops. You got your hops and my apples.
Just how assertive are we talking here? Because I'm not into pegging.
I was about to say, I believe this flavor wants to talk to someone's manager.
So the base for this, start with a relatively neutral cider base, so a mix of sweets and sharps. This lets the hop character shine. The hop selection, choose hop varieties that complement apples. So citrusy, floral, or herbal hops are common choices. And then the balance, adjust the amount of hops to achieve your desired level of bitterness and aroma. So the next one, which is also, I would say we get to have some, but I don't know. You want to check on ours in there?
It's thawing.
The fruited cider.
Fruited cider. Put that in the microwave for a few minutes.
God. Fruited cider is a burst of summer sunshine in a glass. This style starts with a traditional cider base and is infused with flavors of various fruits. Think berries, citrus, stone fruits, or even tropical varieties. The fruit can be added during fermentation or after, resulting in varying levels of sweetness and intensity. Fruited ciders often lean toward the sweeter side, but some makers find the perfect balance between the fruit and natural cider acidity.
Does this mean this is where you would put your pineapples?
I would think so. I guess that goes in the tropical thing.
I'm just saying, pineapples are also apples, right?
It's in the name.
It's in the name.
Fruited ciders are a delicious way to add a twist to your cider routine. Their vibrant colors and flavors make them incredibly refreshing on a warm day. They're also incredibly approachable for those new to cider, offering familiar fruit flavors alongside the crispness of apples. Whether you're craving the taste of ripe strawberries, tart cherries, or tangy citrus, there's a fruited cider out there waiting for you.
Do these ciders have like a glacial freeze or a cool blue?
I'm sure you could add, like, well, at that point, you're just having a gosa, aren't you? Like,
that's probably not far from being wrong.
So the base cider, select a simple, clean cider base to showcase the fruit flavors. The fruit compatibility, think about which fruits pair well with apples. Berries, stone fruit, citrus, etc.
Cranberries.
I mean, yeah. Adjust the sweetness of the base cider to balance the added fruit. So we're seeing tons of new styles popping up. Cider aged in bourbon barrels? Done. Cider made with hops like beer? It exists. Makers are even blending cider with grapes or berries for these hybrid creations that blur the lines between different beverages. If you're feeling adventurous, you can even try making your own cider at home. It's little more than involved than brewing beer. There are plenty of resources online and starter kits to help you get going. But even if DIY isn't your thing, the best way to learn is simply to get out there and explore. Try different ciders. Find the ones that make you go, wow.
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 Make wow. Sure. Owen Wilson brought this episode to you.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about how to make a cider. Cider, being a drink with such a long history, is pretty basic in the way it's actually made. When I made cider, or when I make cider, I don't press my apples. We will get to what I do instead, but most cider makers will start with fresh apples. They get macerated or crushed up into small pulp-like pieces and then pressed in an apple press. The press will apply a lot of pressure. In most cases, you'll see over 70 PSI, or pounds per square inch, meaning they'll need tons of pounds to be applied on some of the larger presses. Screw presses are pretty common for the small-scale production. Turning a screw down and pressing the juice from the crushed apples, they're kind of mostly made out of wood with a little bit of cast iron, but that's a pretty common way of getting apple juice. After pressing, a cider maker will actually test the acidity of the juice at that time, and if it happens to be too low, they may add some additional malic acid back in. The acidic or sour component already in apples. The tangy bite of green apples comes from high levels of this malic acid. So from here, a cider maker has a choice. They can either go au naturel or add in some form of chemical sterilant. This process is called sulfiting and is performed with a product named potassium or sodium metabisulfite. The metabisulfite is the same ingredient found in Camden tablets. Those are the water sterilizing tabs favorited by doomsday preppers and backcountry hikers alike.
Casey, can you recommend brewing your cider all natural?
I cannot.
he's very self-conscious. He does not like to brew his cider in the nude.
I have reasons why I am unable, actually, to brew my cider all natural, and we'll get into those here in just a minute.
There are large windows at the front of the brewery, and people can see it.
So, I can't remember. I think I wrote it in here. We'll talk. If I not, I'll come back and talk about that a little bit. So metabisulfites will generate sulfite in the juice, and that does two main things. First, it destroys any of the wild bacteria or yeast that would have been present on the apple skins. Second, it's an antioxidant, so it helps to prevent the juice from turning brown while you're doing this processing. And just like apple slices turn brown once they've been cut, so do the juices that you get from presses. Was one of the things whenever I was doing my own like burning up of a juicer, it exposed a lot of the juice to air because the way it did it, and the juice turned really dark and brown.
Destroyed a juicer in like what, 24 hours?
It didn't take 24 hours, but that sucker.
I meant of purchasing the juicer.
Oh yeah, now that for sure. Yeah. So the producers who do not use this method to remove the wild yeasts are targeting a more wild and funky historical cider flavor than the clean and crisp styles that are more modern. I do not want, I guess the closest you could say is like musty farmhouse cider.
Mm.
So you may have actually seen a warning label on the side of commercial wines that alert the consumer that the product that they're getting ready to drink contains sulfites. Now, this is because the process, which is done in winemaking, or this is because the process is actually done in winemaking as well. While the warning can sound a little scary, usually sulfites aren't dangerous to humans at the levels used in these beverages. In fact, there are set limits as to what is legally allowed to be used, and we have to stay under those limits. Higher levels of acidity actually allow for lower levels of sulfites to be used. So that's why getting the level of acidity correct in the beginning is especially important. So from here, the cider maker would need to wait about 24 hours to let the sulfites dissipate naturally out of the juice. Otherwise, whenever they do the next step, that sulfite would actually kill off the yeast that they're trying to add in also. So you don't want to do that. You need to wait a little bit so the sulfites can off-gas. Now, after pressing and sulfiting...
But, by the way, Casey, real quick, the off-gassing is also what I call it when I've got bad heartburn. I'm just sitting upright in bed burping.
Yeah, that makes sense. After you press and sulfite the juice, there really isn't much more to do than add the yeast and wait. Yeast are pretty much making the stuff, and so you just let them have their time. If you want to make a still cider, you can let the CO2 that comes out of the fermentation just keep on coming out and release into the air. But if you want to make a sparkly or a bubbly cider, you can go this route naturally by capping off the fermentation and letting it keep those bubbles in, or through adding in CO2 after the cider is finished fermenting. Now, there's also a third way called bottle conditioning, where you may bottle a still cider with a little additional yeast and some fresh apple juice, and then you'll cap it off. Now, while in the bottles, the yeast will convert the new sugars into more alcohol and CO2 and carbonate the cider in the bottle. You can't do this and still have a sweet cider, though. That's the problem, is that it does not work if you've got a sweet cider, because the sweetness of the cider actually is the sugar, which the yeast will then eat as well.
How hard does the cap come off a bottle conditioned?
If you do it appropriately... you have measured to get the right amount of sugar in there for the right amount of, like, how much carbonation you want in there. So it's not horrible. Like, you know,
should be like how champagne is supposed to be opened.
Well, you can do technically just like a little, you know, pop off of the top or whatever, just like you would a soda pop. But if you like, most of the time you're paying, odd as it sounds, you're paying taxes in the United States, at least, on how much carbonation your cider has on it. So that's not the only thing that you pay on, but it's one of the criteria. And so I specifically make my cider a little bit lower carbonation than what that legitimately level would be, just so the tax rate is cheaper, because I've got to keep within a certain band, or else it wouldn't be in that cheaper tax rate. Huge, because basically what they're doing is they're saying cider's wine at the federal level.
Yeah.
And sparkling wine tends to be expensive wine, champagne. So I'm not selling my cider for champagne prices. So I can't pay the champagne level of taxes that go along with that.
A lot of things are wine at the federal level.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes from a fruit, it's going to be wine. So, I promise to tell you a little bit about how I make my own cider, and it's about as simple of a process as you could kind of imagine. My cider comes from apples that are pressed and balanced for acidity already, so I don't have to worry a whole lot about acidity. I'm getting a product that has the same sugar level, the same acidity, all these things right from the very start. It's also a product that is completely sanitary. So there is nothing, like, it is an aseptic process. So whatever the process is that they use to sterilize these apples, it's not chemical. I don't think it's heat related. They may use like gamma radiation on it to sterilize it.
Cider angry.
So it comes, it's about as fresh as you can get, but at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, this is now a product that is completely sterile when it comes to me. It's also concentrated. So it's a 4-to-1 concentration. It's basically 1/4 of the 3/4 of the original water content has been removed. And it's through a very gentle process that still allows the flavor and the sugar and the aromas to stay in the juice, but removes that water, which is costly to ship. It's that part that's kind of expensive. And so I'll get juice that's apple juice concentrate. Now, you can find the same juice actually in your own local supermarket in the freezer section. You'll just look around for some tubes of frozen juices in the freezer section and find the one that says apple juice concentrate.
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty much the exact same stuff that I start with. Like, that is what it is. Mine doesn't have to be frozen because it's in such a sterile packaging. Like, it doesn't have to be frozen to be shipped. But those, it's the same kind of ideas. That's a juice that has no preservatives in it. It has only sugar. And then you reconstitute it back with a little bit of water and you've got apple juice again. So it's really convenient to work with a product like this because it's standardized. My flavor of my product doesn't change time to time because it is that same exact product each time. The drawback is it changes in price, but it is available year round. So I may come to a time when apples are in season and it's a little bit cheaper, or I may come to a time like right now when it's really expensive to buy because it's just a product that you're basically saying, hey, make sure that you have this all the time. And there's a cost that goes along with that. So from there, I'll actually mix that concentrate back in with water. And this is a really kind of, it took me a lot to figure this out because the packaging that they put it in looks like it has a hole that you could stick something in to suck it out, but it's not. So what I basically, it comes in a large drum, a 50-gallon drum. So I'll take my pump and prime it. I'll actually take water and boil it because I want my water to be sanitized too. So I'll take my water and boil it. And I'll pump it backward through my pump a little bit so it can get into the apple juice barrel. And then I'll start pumping everything back out into the actual fermenter. And so in that process, I'm basically draining this 50-gallon barrel of cider as well as possible. And the best we've ever been able to do is like leave 1/4 gallon in the bottom. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we're good there. That gets mixed with water, but I don't mix it down that full 4-to-1 concentration. Like I don't add, if this is 50 gallons, I don't add 150 gallons of water back to it. I actually add probably closer to about 70 gallons. And what that does is it makes a very high concentration of sugar in this solution. So we go back and we look at the ice cider. It's very much to what's going on with ice cider from the very start. And I ferment this out, so it ends up being like 12% alcohol. Now, the reason I do that is because 50 gallons plus 150 gallons is 200 gallons. And that's bigger than my 135-gallon fermenters. So I've got to figure out a way to do this at a certain level that I can kind of be like, okay, let's just get this done in one fermenter so I don't have to like tie up two for cider for 2 weeks. We can make it happen in a smaller amount of space. And so
2 weeks.
Concentrated fermentation, best way to do it. And as long as you keep the temperatures lower and don't stress the yeast out, it's all okay. If you let the yeast go high, it's going to get way too hot. It's going to go crazy, and you're going to start getting some esters in there that you don't really want.
You don't want the yeast stressed out, but you don't want to get it high. Gotcha.
Well, I mean, that's what the hops are for. So once I get to a finished fermentation, I then do have to water it down because my license, my permit doesn't let me make any cider above 7%. So I actually have to back it off. I would love to sell the cider at that concentrated level because it is delicious and it is powerful.
It will get you there.
Yeah. So we back it off. We water it down by about half at that point and get it back down to about 6.5% ABV. It's still higher than normal, which would be like 4.5, 5. So we're still kicking a pretty strong drink. That's what makes our product sell a little bit better, I think, than most ciders out there, that are just at a bar, because we add back like sweetness to it. We add a lot of like flavor to it because we're adding more apple juice concentrate. So like we're doing a lot to make sure that it's a really like flavorful product.
that you bring it back to flavor country.
That's right. So then we may add in at that point a flavoring agent. It could be something like a flavored fruit puree, or it could be something along the lines of, here, let me just throw in some cinnamon sticks and let that go.
Toss in some passion fruit, orange, and guava.
That's right. You can always go crazy different directions with these, and then have some good products that come out. Now, I also add in with the water, I'm going to add in some sort of like flavor agent, but then I'm going to add in fresh apple juice, because the flavoring portion of it usually wouldn't have a whole lot of sweetness to it. So if we want a sweet cider, this cider is completely dry. We add cinnamon. Sure, cinnamon adds some like cinnamon aromas of sweetness, but not sweetness itself. So we'll add in fresh apple juice, like fresh apple juice concentrate back to it to sweeten it up a little bit. And then finally, the last thing we'll do is add some stabilizing agents. And these are really important because it's the part that allows me to make a sweet cider. So these are going to be more sulfites, and then a product that's called potassium sorbate. Both of these products are commonly used in the kind of fruit wine or sweet products, or even in some beverages that aren't alcoholic, in the case of sorbate. So potassium sorbate, if you say sulfites, are basically there to kill off all the yeasts that are in the cider at that time. It's not going to kill off all of them. You will have some left over. So the sorbate comes in and says, okay, one or two yeast cells isn't going to ruin the whole party, but one or two yeast cells likes to multiply. The sorbate prevents them from multiplying.
Sorry, I was thinking of one of them being like a serial killer, but then all of a sudden the other one turns into a bouncer being like, no, you're cool to come in to murder these guys.
Yeah.
Wait your turn.
Chill out.
It's the bouncer, the suicide booth.
Yeah, it's truly a 1-2 punch to try to get them all, like, get everything taken care of, because otherwise we also store it cold as much as we can, but we can't control it once it leaves our facility. So rather than making, like, I mean, you've heard of keg bomb or bottle bombs, just wait until you see a keg bomb.
Oh, I bought a can of 450 North just today. Like, I'm well aware of the risks.
So
if you shake that up, Chris, and pull the tab, do you like have to throw it, or do you have to like, is there a way to let that cook before you release and it explodes?
No shake necessary. All you got to do is buy it from a shelf.
Leave it in the back of a car.
Yeah, not even that.
Hot summer day.
Entire flats have been known, well, back in the day, were known to just explode if they weren't refrigerated.
Looks like that episode of The Simpsons where yeah. Bart puts the Duff can in the paint shaker.
Yeah, sticks it back in the fridge.
He pulls the thing and it just detonates like it's a nuclear bomb.
All right, so wrapping up, some novice cider makers may try to stop the original fermentation early and keep the sweetness in the cider from that original batch of like cider juice that they've got in there. It's not a good idea. It can lead to some negative side effects, mainly that the yeast doesn't have enough time to clean up after themselves and leaves byproducts in the drinks that can ruin the flavor and aroma. Also, the normal kind of, I don't know if it's wives' tale or if it's true or not, but basically the things that they're leaving behind are also the congeners that give you headaches. Of course, alcohol is the main one, but there are some other like precursors or middle pathway components that can give you even worse like headaches because they don't get converted all the way to alcohol. And so here's some things that your body doesn't like very much.
These chemicals may also cause side effects such as rectal bleeding, trouble sleeping,
sterilization.
If your fermentation continues for more than 4 hours, please consult a physician.
Impotence.
So one of them is acetaldehyde. And so acetaldehyde is a product that actually causes
cocaine addiction.
It is the one that basically is a byproduct of alcohol. Okay, so if you think about breaking down alcohol in the body, like the yeast create alcohol. And so part of that molecule of alcohol is this piece there that is the acetaldehyde. So they have to like clean it up by adding some more to it. When your body is breaking down alcohol, that alcohol breaks down into this acetaldehyde again. And then from there, you're having to take it on down. And that's where you're getting your hangovers from this, some of this acetaldehyde that's left over there. The problem is if you leave that in there, you're basically adding more hangover, but not more alcohol to it. So you're adding the product that gives you the hangover, but not the product that gets you drunk.
That's
it's an interesting combo.
Horrendous.
Yeah. What's the thing where it's like, oh no, we're just going to give you all of the negatives and none of the positives.
Exactly. Exactly. And it has, although in cider, it doesn't matter that much, but it has a green apple flavor and aroma to it. Which in some, if you take like,
I kept trying to think of why I know that name so well, but it's like, oh, right. It's the green apple flavor.
Yeah. And so that's why in lagers, you may get a green apple aroma or flavor because the yeast is too sluggish at the end of the fermentation to clean back up that byproduct and create it in, or make ethanol out of it.
You know what doesn't have an ethylaldehyde green apple flavor? Cervezas Crista.
Shouldn't have known.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done now. That was my three.
At that point, you do want to always let that fermentation finish naturally, though. And then you can back sweeten and you can add sweetener later and then preserve it through that. I would not worry about stopping or restricting the fermentation because you want it to clean up. If you keep your product cold, you may not even have to use the stabilizers. Like I said, though, for us, we always use them because I don't know what other people are going to do. Then lastly, I have to decide if I want it to be a carbonated cider or not. And my main cider is carbonated, so I use the same tanks and systems that I use to carbonate and keg beer and do the same process as my beer kegging as I do on the cider. And then once it's kegged, it's ready to serve. Like, there's no more need to wait or anything like that. We literally go through this product so much that I have to sometimes pull it off of the tank into a keg that goes straight out to the bar because we just barely got it fermented in time.
Casey, with all this, brewing explanation you've done, can you give me a good suspenders snap? Thank you.
My nipples.
Look, it was a risk I was willing to take.
Because it's my nipples.
Yeah, that's why.
All right.
You'll always risk your nipples.
Yeah, I mean that was pretty cool. That was really informative. It's nice to have you kind of walk us through the whole process for how you do your stuff. So
it's a super simple process, and I mean if you really wanted to go, it's on the website for the producer of these cider bases. Like, they basically give you the instructions there. Where you differentiate yourself, it's a lot like many of the brewers out there. What's the one? Bell's does it, and BrewDog does it like really well. They'll give you the recipes because they don't care. You're not going to replicate it exactly. Your process is not the same as theirs. It's about process. It's about how you do things, not necessarily about the actual ingredients you get in there.
It can be how, like, yeah, when it comes to all of this, it can be how fast you cool it after a boil, and all these different things are going to change it.
Yep.
Like these minute things that are going to vary from everyone who's going to make it.
How much heroin is definitely it. I believe strongly that our water is what really does a lot for our beer, because the water in this area is just, I mean, it's a totally different product than anywhere else. And we don't overly filter it back to a, like, I've got an RO system here at the house, but I don't necessarily like drinking the RO water versus our regular tap water. It's nice to have the RO waters for the fish tanks, not for me.
Give the fish that crap.
All right.
What you drinking?
Casey's apparently out back with a glass, dipping it straight into the big Sandy.
Let's not go that far. I've seen what's floated down that river.
Corpses.
Yeah.
Sparkling Muscatel, one of the finest wines of Idaho. Would you taste it for us, please? Excellent choice. Should be for 95 cents.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Bob, I tried to send you a picture of it, but couldn't really. Roosevelt's had a whole line of button-down shirts that are sketches from Jim Henson's private journal.
Ooh. Didn't you send something that was...
Yeah, it was like a one of the pictures, but it was all like sketches and things that had been previously unreleased, and now they have them as prints on shirts.
Nice.
And like, they're from all, like, just planning things from different movies, like from Dark Crystal and other things.
Oh. Well, all right. I'm going to have to look into that. Brittany, Chris, what are you drinking?
A variety of things.
First off, was this deliciousness?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So I was going in to buy them, and I was like, okay, I want to get like an American craft one, and I want to get like a true English, you know, old world cider. And for once, they didn't have any, except Samuel Smith's. And I'm like, you know what? It's probably as close as I'm getting. And it was amazing.
So delicious. Good.
I mean, it was apple-y, apple, 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 apple. It was like,
apple, 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 apple.
Yeah, it was like, here's an alcoholic apple for you.
Their stuff is always good. We haven't had it in a while, but it's like, oh, no, they're still fine.
I will always go. That's one of the first things we drank was Samuel Smith's, and I'm just like, no, everything they do is just like top notch. Like, they are, like, they don't half-ass anything. They do a true-to-style version of anything they do.
Also, I don't think we've ever gotten, this is the first time I've ever had any of their stuff from a can. As opposed to like the big, like,
oh yeah,
unreasonable glass bottles,
bombers. Because we had drinking problems in the past.
Had.
And then while we waited for, the cider that was apparently frozen.
Because no. Here's my beef with cider. A lot of it, like Casey was saying, he has to dumb it down, big time, before sending it out. I took one because we bought these beer, well, most of these, just a few hours before recording started. So I got home with shelf-warm product. I'm like, man, I got to chill this down real quick. And I chucked it in the freezer. It hadn't been in there not even 40 minutes. And it was solid. I popped the cap, and it still went, and I was like, cool. And I got to turn it up to pour in the glass, and nothing's coming out.
It was it was the Dairy Queen Blizzard thing.
Yeah. Oh. So while we're waiting for the next cider, I had to pour us a Spotted Cow.
Oh.
So Spotted Cow kind of filled that gap until the ace with pineapple could thaw. Which I blame it's freezing on its low alcohol. Look,
it was tasty though.
It takes Mountain Dew an hour and 15 minutes to freeze solid in a freezer. I don't know how this thing froze solid in under 40 minutes.
The other Mountain Dew doesn't freeze in the freezer.
Yeah, the pineapple one was quite good.
It's got to be the Yellow 5.
I was going to say, maybe you guys turned it into an ice cider with it freezing like that.
No, right. it thawed out really quickly, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys tossed it in the oven to thaw it back out. Well, I've been drinking, well, a couple of things, but most of the episode was the Gold Medal Apple Cider from Country Boy Brewing.
Mm.
Honestly, tasted just like an apple pie. I have no problems with that. Didn't blow me away, but I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is pretty tasty. Which is basically my general thoughts for a lot of Country Boy stuff. Mm. Oh, yeah, this is pretty good. But yeah, that was solid. But the other thing I did grab because I saw it on my way out of buying beer for the day was Bell's Two Hearted.
Mm.
And I saw a six-pack of that, and I went, Daddy needs drinking beer. So that's a gear shift, by the way, from drinking apple pie to getting to a two-hearted.
Yeah, that.
But
so many people that would we know that aren't IPA drinkers. They're not classic IPA drinkers. And I mean, we weren't either in the beginning. It took a while to be able to appreciate it. When there's like, no, why would I lick a pine cone? And now right. I look at it and I'm like, no, you weren't here for the IBU wars.
Yeah.
When they were cranking out Hulaud.
That was something.
Yeah, honestly, these are also both about the exact same ABV. The cider was 6.9, and Two Hearted is about 7.
Okay.
So. Nice. As you notice, 6.9% on nice. That cider, right below the 7 limit.
Nice.
Nice. Casey, what you got?
I am drinking a Vidarain.
Oh.
That is Kirkland Signature, Costco's brand of Vidarain, not vitamin water, zero, and dragon fruit, flavored with other natural flavors.
Hey.
C and B12.
Flavored with flavor.
It's flavored with flavoring. So what kind? Don't ask questions.
I don't when it comes to Kirkland stuff, because I look at it, I look at the price, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't ask you any questions. Don't worry, I won't. I'm just going to go ahead and toss this whole thing in my cart. I'm very guilty looking at cat food, and I'm just like, man, I just had to throw out like 10 pounds of cat food that the cats like absolutely refused to eat. But now I'm looking at, I'm like, don't want to switch to Kirkland cat food. Sounds kind of like the cat food we buy, but our cats are spoiled little shits.
Well, thankfully, Costco is known for selling small portions, so you could buy like an affordable small portion to
just try it out.
Just get a little sample.
It's a good thing that they do samples, and I can sample the cat food there.
You need to get like a harness for your cats. Walk them into Costco. And then, take them up there. Like, no, eat this. Eat it.
Yeah, it'll work out really well.
They're service animals.
We are going to get them harnesses. We're going to take them outside when the weather gets warmer.
Take them on walks.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Just look at the cats and go like, come on, walkies.
Yeah.
Going to try. My mom used to do it with her now extremely overweight cats. She'd only take him for a walk. She would put a harness on it and then shut the end of the harness in the door, and then the cat would just like run amok in the bushes outside the door.
It is very funny to me now. Like, my girlfriend has a dog, and we'll go out with, take it and her sister's dog on a walk. And childhood me is like, yeah, I understood people walked dogs, but I never did it. We just opened the door and said, all right, go, dog. Go out in the hills and do your business. Give it about like an hour. Come back out. Dog, come back. And it'd run back in.
Yeah.
Because the dog had had enough of the outside world by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Dog's like, okay, I killed a rabbit. I ate a squirrel.
I've gone on adventures. I've come back in. We good.
I pooped. I had another family for a little bit. I'm ready to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently this is anathema to her. She, like I explained that whole process. She's like, you just let your dog run wild? Yeah, and?
The hills, I mean.
It's going to get hit by a car? Not on those hills.
Yeah.
All right.
Well then.
Yeah. Today's episode was written by Casey. Using sources from, I'm guessing, his brain.
A little, yeah, like just, I don't know, random searches. Fun stuff. I should have probably kept them. I was like, what are some of the most common cider apples? Oh, and then here's a list. Okay, now let's dive into each one of these. And then went from there. But you can subscribe in the meantime and get some great resources at haveadrinkshow.com and follow us at Have a Drink Show on social media and twitch.tv.
You can tell us your favorite drink, ask a question, or just leave some general feedback. You use the email address feedback@haveadrinkshow.com. You can also use the feedback page on the website. You can, you know, we've talked about screaming into the empty void. We've talked about leaving messages in the bottle. Take that message in a bottle, go to your bathroom, flush it down the toilet, and see if it gets to us. Have a drink. Is not responsible for any damaged toilets.
All joking and fun aside, we'd like to remind everyone to please drink responsibly.
Yes. All right. Well, you can check us out in
next month,
April. Yeah, I was trying to remember like the rough time frame. It was like the middle of April for the next episode. We will.
We have another episode. I gotta get to work.
Yeah. In the process of updating the site a bit, so look out for that as well. And remember where things are. Okay, so once again, I'm Brittany Lee Walker.
I'm Justin Frazier.
I'm Christopher Walker.
And I'm Casey Price. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And if we're clear, that just reminded me. Maybe we want to...